From San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. At 9 o'clock this morning, Central Time, we'll be joined by Tex Mars. And Tex will be talking with me about Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's new book entitled The Synagogue of Satan. I've been reading through this book, by the way, just about finished with it. But it is really an amazing volume because it gets into a particular understanding of Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, and Revelation chapter 3, verse 9. Where in his warnings both to the church at Smyrna and the church at Philadelphia, Jesus Christ makes reference to those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Andrew Carrington Hitchcock then develops the theme there in regard to what it is that Jesus Christ is talking about. Who are these Jews who say that they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan? And how are we to see their activities manifesting themselves in human history in the last 2,000 years? Andrew Carrington Hitchcock develops a specific theme, a specific grid, I think, for how one should look at history.
I found a company online, and they have this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the...
And then he gets about the business of talking about the whole way in which we can see throughout history specific historical events and personages that underscore what it was that Hitchcock believes Jesus was talking about in his warning to the church at Smyrna and to the church at Philadelphia regarding the synagogue of Satan. So keep an eye on that. We're going to be talking with Tex Mars at 9 o'clock about this book. I would like to have had Andrew Carrington Hitchcock on himself. But his schedule in England is incompatible with this show and with Andrew's work schedule. And Tex Mars, of course, is well connected with Rivercrest Publishing in Austin, which has produced this book. And Andrew had suggested to me that Tex would be an excellent guest, which I know he will be, in regard to talking about this whole business of the synagogue of Satan. Looking at the back cover of this book, Hitchcock says as follows. World events do not happen by accident. World history is planned far in advance by a conspiratorial cabal, an invisible hand, working secretly behind the scenes. In this highly documented volume, researcher Andrew Hitchcock uncovers the wicked elite group responsible for virtually all wars, revolutions, financial debacles, and social upheavals. That group he accurately identifies as the synagogue of Satan. Amazingly, the Bible's apocalyptic scriptures warn of this very same group. The book of Revelation reveals that the hellish agents who comprise the synagogue of Satan do not hesitate to imprison, defraud, and kill multitudes of innocent victims. Their deceptive conspiracy will someday soon shake the entire planet and cause the bloody death of billions of its inhabitants. Here is the record of how the synagogue of Satan is stealthily moved to dominate and control the world's money and banking. It has set up secret societies and organizations such as the Bilderbergers, the Freemasonry, and the Council on Foreign Relations to do its dirty work. And now, this ages-old conspiracy is prepared to plunge mankind into the utter depths of all-out destruction. That's what we're going to be talking about with Tex Mars this morning at 9 o'clock Central Time, this whole business of the synagogue of Satan. And as we consider central banking as it relates to Hitchcock's thesis in his book, it's interesting that today there is a post coming out of Tehran which indicates that the head of Iran's central bank has traveled to Washington, D.C. to attend the joint annual summit of the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank, the official news agency IRNA reported on Monday. The IMF and the World Bank will hold their annual meeting on April 14th and 15th in the U.S. Capitol. Ibrahim Shaibani is scheduled to deliver a speech on the state of Iran's banking system at the meeting. We'll also hold talks. The new heads of groups of the states and central banks. And this is Mark Dan from Mouse America coming to the Senate. And listening to.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs a few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
San Antonio, Texas, and the Republic Broadcasting Network at 9 o'clock this morning Central Time, just about 2 hours from now. We're going to be talking with Tex Mars about Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's new book, The Synagogue of Satan. I have been reading through this volume. It has a specific thesis, a thesis that I agree with because it's a scriptural thesis, pertaining to the warning of Jesus Christ to the church at Smyrna and to the church at Philadelphia in John's Apocalypse, the very last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, where Jesus makes reference to those who say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Who and what is it that Jesus Christ is talking about there? And is he giving us a key through which we can interpret the real meaning of history in these last 2,000 years? That would seem to be the thesis of Andrew Hitchcock's book, The Synagogue of Satan, that there is a grid through which we can read all of history as a result of these statements made in the Apocalypse to the church at Smyrna and the church at Philadelphia. And as well, Andrew goes into a lot of historical detail in attempting to corroborate and to document his thesis. And it's really interesting to look at all the dates there and the names and the associations and the money trails and so forth. We'll try to help unpack that book for you when Tex Mars comes on at 9 o'clock to talk about it. The Synagogue of Satan is a River Crest publishing effort coming out of Austin, Texas. And if you have any questions for me at all today or of Tex Mars when he comes on at 9 o'clock this morning, you're certainly free to give me a call at 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. Got a couple of news items that I think are worth taking a look at. And then I wanted to say something about Hesham Talawi's show this evening for Current Issues TV. Pat Buchanan has a very important piece entitled, What a Lack of Courage Cost. And this is a piece you can find at antiwar.com. It's posted April 10th, which is today. What a Lack of Courage Cost by Patrick J. Buchanan. Buchanan is talking about something here that I noted yesterday very briefly on this show in regard to a report by United States Senator Carl Levin of Michigan, who indicates that the Senate will keep paying for the war. That is a piece you can find through the online site of the Houston Chronicle. Buchanan then has an op-ed piece today where he talks about that. So maybe we first ought to go to the Houston Chronicle piece and discuss what they report there yesterday. This is an AP story. And it basically indicates that the Senate will not stop paying for the Iraq war or relent from insisting that President Bush keep pressing the Baghdad government for a negotiated end to the violence, a top Democrat said Sunday. Michigan Senator Carl Levin, the Senate Armed Services Committee chairman, took issue with an effort by Majority Leader Harry Reid to limit war spending after March of 2008 as a way to end U.S. involvement. Quote, we're not going to vote to cut funding, period, Levin said. But what we should do, and we're going to do, is continue to press this president to put some pressure on the Iraqi leaders to reach a political settlement, unquote. Bush has asked the Congress for more than $100 billion to pay for the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan this year. The House and Senate have approved the money, but their bills seek to wind down the war by including timelines for troops to come home, something Bush will not accept. The Senate bill would require a U.S. troop exit to begin within 120 days, with a completion goal of March the 31st, 2008. The House bill would order all combat troops out by September the 1st, 2008. Democratic leaders have not negotiated a final version to send to the president. Bush has made clear he will veto it, which will start the process all over. Quote, we're going to fund the troops we always have, Levin said. He added, quote, we're very strong in supporting the troops, but we're also strong in putting pressure on the Iraqi leaders to live up to their own commitments. Without that political settlement on their part, there is no military solution, unquote. Senator Arlen Specter, Republican, Pennsylvania, said, quote, there have not been sufficient efforts at discussions between lawmakers and the White House. Quote, we cannot leave the troops unfunded in the field. That just can't be done. And Congress is not in a position to micromanage the war. We do not have any good alternative. Right now, you can't see the end of the tunnel, let alone a light at the end of the tunnel. Specter said he was not prepared, quote, to withdraw funding at this time. But my patience, like many others, is growing very thin, unquote. Reid, Nevada, said last week that if Bush rejects the Democrats' legislation, he would join with Senator Russ Feingold of Wisconsin, one of the party's most liberal members, who has long called to end the war by denying funding for it. Reid's latest proposal would give the president 1 year to get troops out, ending funding for combat operations after March the 31st, 2008. Quote, we can keep the benchmarks part of the bill without saying that the troops must begin to come back within 4 months, said Senator Carl Levin. If that doesn't work and the president vetoes because of that, and he will, then that part of it is removed because we're going to fund the troops. And what we will leave will be benchmarks, for instance, which would require the president to certify to the American people if the Iraqis are meeting the benchmarks for political settlement, which they, the Iraqi leaders, have set for themselves, unquote, he said. Senator John Kyle, Republican of Arizona, said it is unacceptable to set a goal and a timetable for withdrawing the troops. He said lawmakers who support that are basing it on a false notion that the Iraqis are not listening to the United States. Quote, I was over there about a month ago. We saw the reaction of the Iraqis. They are cooperating with us. So that's old news that they're not cooperating. That's one of the reasons this new surge strategy is working, unquote, he said. Kyle said withholding money from troops with the aim of sending a message to Iraqis that they must do better would be self-defeating. Quote, You're also sending a message to our troops and to our enemies, who know that all they have to do is wait the conflict out. This is not the way to try and micromanage a war from the U.S. Senate, unquote, he said. Levin and Kyle were interviewed on This Week on ABC. Spector appeared on Late Edition on CNN. Now Pat Buchanan's post today at antiwar.com, where he discusses what I just read to you from yesterday's Houston Chronicle. Pat says that a lack of courage has cost a great deal in this situation. He begins his piece by saying that as Chairman Carl Levin of the Senate Armed Services Committee conceded Sunday, Congress is not going to defund the war in Iraq, even if Bush vetoes every Democratic timetable for withdrawal. The war will go on, backed by a Democratic Congress. If Majority Leader Reid is not bluffing about his threat to vote with Russ Feingold to cut off funds, Harry will be rolled by a bipartisan coalition that includes dozens of members of his own caucus. For Democrats, recall the consequences of having voted to cut off funds for the war in Vietnam, into which JFK and LBJ had plunged the United States. Whatever Americans think about a war, they are not a forgiving crowd when it comes to those perceived as having abandoned the troops or ensured defeat. This is what Democrats are toying with today. That is why the GOP has begun to pound Speaker Pelosi after her runaway strut through the Middle East to get her vacationing colleagues back to Washington and to get that $100 billion for the troops and the war passed. No matter how Harry and Nancy bridle, the Congress they lead will give Bush exactly what he demands, and the final vote to fund the war with no strings attached will tear at the seams of a Democratic Party whose base favors a rapid, if not immediate, withdrawal. The Democratic Congress thus faces this April a humiliating climb down, and all because of a Democratic Senate's vote in October of 2002. Tom Daschle, Reid, Hillary Clinton, John Kerry, John Edwards, Joe Biden, and Chris Dodd all assenting to give George Bush his blank check for war. If I had known then what I know now, I would have never voted for the war, John Edwards assures us of the most important vote that he, Hillary, Biden, and Dodd ever cast, the votes that ensured America would commit the greatest strategic blunder of their lifetimes. This is not to absolve President Bush of culpability for what historians will surely call Bush's war, or the neoconservatives who howled for war on Iraq from the moments the planes hit the towers, and who had plotted and propagandized for war on Iraq for years before 9/11. Yet Democratic courage on October of 2002 might have stopped the stampede, for Democrats were the last best hope of the opponents of war. But they failed the nation. What the nation got was a vote to, quote, get the issue behind us, unquote, so Democrats could focus on holding the Senate, which they lost in any event. Now that we have passed the four-year mark in a war that has lasted longer than the war between the states or World War II, what does the profit and loss statement look like? On the credit side, Iraq has been liberated from Saddam Hussein and a bath party that tyrannized and terrorized Iraqis for decades. Saddam is dead, his henchmen have met justice, and none will hold power again. Kurds are free. The Shia are liberated from Saddamite and Sunni oppression. The price of liberation, however, is scores of thousands of Iraqi dead, many tortured and murdered by their own kinsmen, a ravaged nation, a sectarian civil war, Al-Qaeda in Anbar, 2 million exiles, the flight of Iraqi Christians, the probable breakup of the nation, and the reversion of Iraq to the status of a failed state. For America, the consequences have been enormous when one considers that, measured by U.S. casualties, this is not a major war. We have lost 3,000 dead and 25,000 wounded, with no end to the bleeding in sight. The worldwide sympathy America enjoyed after 9/11 is history. America is severed from old allies and despised around the world. Our reputation suffers from Abu Ghraib, Guantanamo, and Haditha. The material costs of the world run into the hundreds of billions, and hundreds of billions more before it ends. The U.S. Army is breaking, quote-unquote, or, quote, almost broken, unquote, depending on whether one agrees with the ex-Army Chief of Staff or Colin Powell. America's position in the Middle East is as imperiled as it ever was in the Cold War, with the King of Saudi Arabia accusing us of an illegal foreign occupation of Iraq. We'll be back with Pat Buchanan's piece, What a Lack of Courage Cost. We'll be talking with Tex Mars at 9 a.m. about Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's new book, The Synagogue of Satan. This is Mark Gandhoff coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on RBN. Stay tuned.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heat up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Did you hear about Joe Bannister, IRS Special Agent Criminal Investigator that quit the IRS a few years ago because the IRS failed to show him the law or legal authority for ordinary Americans like you and me to file and pay income tax?
What do you mean? Everyone knows that you have to file and pay income taxes.
Well, not only did the IRS fail to show Joe Bannister a law that requires you and me to file and pay income tax when Joe was working for the IRS, but even after Joe quit the IRS, the IRS failed to show up to several debates that the IRS was invited to debate Bannister about the legality of the income tax.
Wow, this is amazing information. Where can I find out more about this?
Go to the website at www.livefreenow.org. That's 760-868-4271. And the website is www.livefreenow.org.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. At 9 o'clock this morning Central Time, we will be joined by Tex Mars, who will be discussing Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's new book, The Synagogue of Satan. That is a Rivercrest publishing effort out of Austin, Texas. What does Jesus mean when he indicates to the church at Smyrna and the church at Philadelphia, the two best churches of the listings there in John's Apocalypse, the so-called churches of Asia Minor, that we must be beware of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Andrew Carrington Hitchcock operates with that theme, taking the warning of Jesus to the church at Smyrna and the church at Philadelphia, which presumably becomes a warning to all Christians throughout the ages, that we should be aware of those who are Jews, who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Tex Mars will be on at 9 o'clock this morning to discuss the thesis of Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's book, which has a lot of very fascinating dates in it, and associations and money trails and organizations, all of which are used to corroborate Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's belief that it is this group of people that Jesus makes reference to in his conversation with St. John, pointed at the Church of Smyrna and pointed at the Church of Philadelphia, the best churches in the listings of those who are called the seven churches of Asia Minor in the book of Revelation, that here we have the Rosetta Stone, presumably, and understanding world events in the last 2,000 years. And I'm going to look forward to talking about that with Tex Mars at 9 o'clock this morning, Central Time. I have had a couple of email exchanges with Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, very gracious young man in England, and he pointed me to Tex Mars as the person who could best discuss the book other than Andrew, since Andrew's schedule and mine in regard to his work schedule in England and my publishing or my broadcasting schedule in this country simply could not be reconciled. But I'm really looking forward to talking with Tex Mars this morning. Many of you already know him, of course, because he's such a legendary figure in the world of Christian publishing, and particularly in the area of prophecy. I've followed Tex's career from afar for quite a long time, and I'm looking forward to my first personal conversation with him at 9 o'clock this morning, Central Time, a personal conversation which I also hope will become your conversation with Tex Mars, for through that entire hour, last hour of the show. You can give him a call at 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. If you want to chat with him in the last hour of the show in regard to this new book, again, that's The Synagogue of Satan, written by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock and Rivercrest Publishing, RCP. Rivercrest Publishing out of Austin is responsible for the production of this book in the fine print form in which it now appears. And I'll look forward again to having Tex Mars on to discuss that whole situation at 9 o'clock Central, 9 a.m. Central this morning. And again, you can call either Tex and or me at any point in today's show at 1-800-313-9443 to talk either about the book or something else that pertains to your own political and cultural and theological concerns as we move toward an entirely new era, it would seem, in regard to the way in which the events of Scripture are going to play themselves out in what I think is the end time of history. And how long it takes for that to unfold is known not by me or by Tex Mars, but only by God, of course. But we will keep an eye on it because I think we get ever closer to new and changing events that will change your life and mine, presumably a great deal, in the days ahead. Let's get back then to looking at Pat Buchanan's piece this morning entitled, What a Lack of Courage Cost. Buchanan is giving his op-ed opinions today regarding yesterday's post by the Associated Press, which reappeared in the Houston Chronicle as well as other publications around the country, where Carl Levin, the Senate Armed Services Committee chair, indicates that the Senate will keep paying for the war, that this discussion of withholding money is off the table in regard to what Senator Levin believes. This would seem to be a contraindication of certainly what Russ Feingold has said in the past and what as well Harry Reid has said. Anyway, back to the Buchanan piece. He goes on to say, Pat does, that America's position in the Middle East is as imperiled as ever as it ever was in the Cold War, with the King of Saudi Arabia accusing us of an illegal foreign occupation of Iraq, and Arab peoples professing pandemic detestation of America and preferring Osama bin Laden as a man and leader to George W. Bush. Most Americans are bitter at how the world perceives us today, given the sacrifices we made over 60 years to ensure that freedom did not die and that the world would be a better place. But then gratitude has never been a long suit of the human race. Yet if the world does not love us and the American empire is gone, are we not well rid of it? Perhaps Bush should be thanked for having shown it is not worth the cost and having booted it away. It's an interesting concept, isn't it? Do you think what Pat Buchanan says this morning? We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, in the Republic Broadcasting Network. At 9 o'clock this morning, Central Time, Tex Mars will join us to discuss Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's new book, The Synagogue of Satan. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097 or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network at 9 o'clock this morning Central Time. We will be joined by Tex Mars, the best-selling Christian author who is going to discuss Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's new book, The Synagogue of Satan. That is a Rivercrest publishing effort out of Austin, and it'll be interesting to chat with Tex about this whole book. I am not quite finished with it, but I've read most of it. And it is a very interesting thesis and has a lot of fascinating information in it related to dates, time frames, money trails, political associations, and very significant figures in history who have had a role to play, in the view of Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, in the outpouring of truth in regard to the real identity of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. And that'll be Tex Mars to chat with me about that book at 9 o'clock this morning Central Time. Bob in Texas, you're on the line for Mark Dankoff. Go ahead, Bob.
Morning, Mark.
Hi, how are you?
I'm just wonderful. Couldn't be better.
Good.
You know, I wanted to call in and comment that, unfortunately, I won't be able to stick around for the Tex Mars portion of your program, but I'm very familiar with Tex Mars and his writings, the latest of which I believe is Codex Magica. And he has an extensive knowledge of the complete history that leads us inevitably back to Babylon. And the reason why I call in and harp about this Babylonian identification is because a lot of times people are misperceived when they talk about, you know, the Jews or the Zionists or something like that, or using that kind of terminology, when in fact this system is a three-prong attack on the common people, and it was devised in Babylon. And you know, you used the biblical chapters of 2:9 and 3:9 of Revelations in describing the author's book that you're going to discuss this morning. And I don't believe that the word synagogue used in those two scriptures are by accident at all. I believe, you know, as a matter of fact, looking in the Zondervan Biblical Dictionary, it describes the synagogue as something that never existed until the return of that single tribe of Judah and a partial tribe of Benjamin back to the Palestine area. That up until that time, you never in the Old Testament read of the Hebrews participating in any kind of an activity at a synagogue. They had a temple or a tent, but they did not have a synagogue. But anyway, I think people are called anti-Semites and bigots because they use the term Jew, which they probably shouldn't. They should use the term Babylonians because that's what they are. And they're very smart, and they've been doing this for 6,000 years. And so they've developed a science of controlling the masses through the monetary system, the military system, and the religious system, which is the trilateral or the three-prong attack on the common people. And the common people usually align themselves with some group or something, and they think that that group is good. Like, I was raised Catholic. I was an altar boy. I did the Latin Mass. But the Vatican is part and parcel of this whole thing, and you can see in the book Codex Magica that Tex Mars wrote the various symbology of the high priests of Babylon. The word cannibal itself comes from there, and it means priests of Baal. And they were cannibalistic. And we're living today in a nation that's ruled by people that are descendants of this same class. And while we are in denial as a populace about the depths of their evil, they're able to control us because we don't see them for what they are.
Yes. And, you know, Tex, or I should say Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, has some information in his book, which I assume Tex perhaps discusses in more detail in Codex Magica, which I have not read yet, about this whole relationship, it would seem, between the Vatican and Zionism and this Babylonian system that you refer to, Bob, and the whole series of very complex associations and trails and money trails and so forth that really begin to thrash out in greater biblical depth, I would imagine, what all is really behind this. And of course, I am anything but an expert in this. I'm continuing to pick up information as I read and research. But it would seem that at a bare minimum, what we've got here is a grid through which I think Andrew Carrington Hitchcock and Tex Mars would say is entirely legitimate that we read history through, and that when you read history in this fashion, it begins to put into light just how superficial most of this so-called political debate is in mainstream corporate Zionist-controlled media.
Well, you know, Mark, when you take a look at the power that's wielded by these secret groups, the CIA, the MI6, the Jesuits, and, you know, all of these people take blood oaths to secrecy, and transparency is the only solution. We need to stop allowing national security measures to be implemented. Okay, here's an example. The President of the United States has his head blown off in downtown Dallas in broad daylight, the middle of the day. We are told later that we need to seal all of the documents related to this event for 75 years because we're too immature to address a coup. That did take place, and that changed America forever. The bottom line is, if Lee Harvey Oswald was a lone assassin, where's the national security threat? You know, they bring us this theory, including the single bullet theory. I mean, that states specifically that Lee Harvey Oswald did it by himself. Well, if that's the case, and then he got killed, there is no national security threat. But yet, these documents are locked up in the national archives. And, you know, Sandy Bergler may be hauling them out by the truckload. But the bottom line is, you know, we have to stop allowing these miscreants in the District of Criminals to confuse the issue and keep it secret from us. We need transparency. We need – the American people need to demand an open government, which is what we're supposed to have.
Well, I think your reference to the Kennedy thing is entirely appropriate, Bob, because it seems to me that you've made an excellent prima facie case for showing how absurd the official version is, because if Oswald was the one and only gunman, and if Oswald was acting for reasons related to some psychological maladjustment or whatever, and if what the Kennedy assassination was simply a tragic chance encounter of a deranged person with a target of opportunity, then there should be no reason, as you point out, for the federal government to handle all of these bits of information about the Kennedy assassination as state secrets, and to maintain files that won't be open for 75 years, and to do all of these other things that suggest very strongly that something serious is being concealed. And that you're exactly right, and that this whole circumstance with the way they handled the investigation and the aftermath of the first official investigation points very strongly toward the thesis of conspiracy, a thesis that I think is eminently sustainable. And the other thing that comes to mind, of course, is that if it was a conspiracy, which clearly you and I believe that it was, then we have to address just who was involved and why. And why it would be that if we had a so-called open government and a government that was truly committed to the Constitution, we could fail to have an open and fair and public debate about this and to bring all the facts before the American people. The fact that that has never been done underscores exactly the nature of the problem. And even the investigation that was opened by the House Assassinations Committee in the late 1970s, which ultimately said, well, yeah, we believe there was a conspiracy, then failed to discuss the nature of the conspiracy. In other words, they acknowledged that there had been more than three shots fired in all likelihood. They acknowledged that a second gunman had been involved. But then they just slammed the door and said that, well, now that we've done our work, we can all go home and proceed to something else. So clearly, even in the late 1970s, the House Assassinations Committee that ostensibly was appointed to reopen this thing and to give it a free and fair and open hearing, went far enough to say that there was a conspiracy, and then they just shut up the books and went home, which, of course, again, underscores the fact that even in a so-called attempt to be open and fair and lawful, that the handling of the events by this new committee in the late 1970s just reinforced our earlier correct suspicions that something very serious was being concealed, something that, of course, to this day, the federal government of the United States just refuses to get into.
Well, you know, Mark, the bottom line is Americans fund and pay for this government that continually lies to them and abuses them. We are told that if we want to correct the system, we need to work within it. But then those people that are running the system, and I'm alluding to the CIA and the government people that were involved in Kennedy's murder, they refuse to just wait until the next election and vote the guy out. They kill him. in cold blood. And they did that as a warning to anybody else that might get in that position, that we can kill you anytime we want, anywhere we want, and you can't do anything about it. And we can cover it up, and that's exactly what's happening with this 9/11 thing. The similarities are tremendous, and actually the personalities that probably orchestrated it are the same. And if we could ever get an ounce of truth serum into George Herbert Walker Bush's bloodstream, we might find out what really happened that day in Dallas.
As you pointed out the other day in a conversation with me, Bob, you know, I had read these bits of information in the past which indicated that a George Bush, had been appointed by the CIA to work as the CIA's liaison to J. Edgar Hoover of the FBI in not only handling the investigation of that the Warren Commission was putting together on the Kennedy death, but specifically the anti-Castro angle on the Kennedy assassination. And, of course, at the time when this came out, there were many voices in officialdom who said that this was a different George Bush, that this was not the George Herbert Walker Bush of presidential fame. And, of course, in the years since, there have been some things that have developed that have corroborated the fact that the officialdom was lying, that it was the same George Herbert Walker Bush. But this memorandum that you read the other day on this show is absolutely the most damning piece of evidence I've ever come across that underscores just how deeply George Herbert Walker Bush was involved in this Kennedy thing and how early he was involved in it. I mean, we're talking about the actual day of the assassination, after the fact that he was already being drawn into the official spin and the official investigation of the whole thing. And as I recall it, what you read over the air was an actual official FBI memorandum from November the 22nd, 1963, which really spelled the whole thing out, up to and including the 40th president or 41st president's involvement with the Zapata Oil Company and his home address and a series of other things.
I emailed that document to you, Mark.
Yes, exactly, and I have it.
And I'd also like to mention that, you know, a fact that's left out constantly is that Richard Nixon, as vice president, was also involved with the anti-Castro Cubans in Florida with George Herbert Walker Bush, and it just so happened that when he became president, all of a sudden he drags E. Howard Hunt and Bush to the White House, and Bush becomes the first ambassador to China, and then ambassador to the UN, and then a CIA director. I mean, you know, rise to success was meteoric, and he was a very mediocre politician. He couldn't even get elected to as a congressman in Texas. So there is enough circumstantial evidence to indict him, and yet nothing is done. And, you know, it never changes. You look at his kid, Neil. Neil Bush was involved in all that savings and loan scandal up to his eyeballs, but hardly anything was ever printed about him in the media.
And what was printed made a prima facie case at the time for indictment because, you know, as I remember the figures, we were dealing with millions, not even thousands, but millions of dollars that had been mishandled in that whole thing. And yet, once again, we see the workings of a system, it seems, that has one standard for people like you and me and another standard for people like this. And I think to the extent that that's true, it has created a crisis of confidence among our people in our institutions, which is entirely understandable, maybe even predictable. But in that process, the crisis of confidence just seems to be increasing exponentially by the day, based upon this Iraq war and many other things that underscore to the average American who thinks at all that something is dreadfully wrong.
Well, you know, Mark, while a lot of people complain about George W. Bush, the punk kid that's the president, I think he's the best thing that could ever have happened to this country because of his ineptness, his incompetence, and his criminality. I think that the American people are waking up. You know, I also wonder sometimes if people don't get so caught up in their day-to-day routine that they sort of blank out the fact that 3,000 of our fellow citizens were murdered on 9/11, and it was a callous, calculated assassination, mass murder of those people, and it was done as an inside job. And it's hard telling how many people were involved, but Fletcher Prouty, in discussing the Kennedy assassination, said there were hundreds. And so, you know, these people that are involved in secret societies and have sworn oaths and are blackmailable or bribable, they all have their own motivations, and they can be convinced that it's necessary, that they're doing the right thing, and even that they're being patriotic. I think a lot of the people involved in Kennedy's assassination thought they were killing a communist.
Yes, we'll be back. If you have time, stay on the line, Bob. This is Mark Gantkos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Did you hear about Joe Bannister, IRS Special Agent Criminal Investigator that quit the IRS a few years ago because the IRS failed to show him the law or legal authority for ordinary Americans like you and me to file and pay income tax?
What do you mean? Everyone knows that you have to file and pay income taxes.
Well, not only did the IRS fail to show Joe Bannister a law that requires you and me to file and pay income tax when Joe was working for the IRS, but even after Joe quit the IRS, the IRS failed to show up to several debates that the IRS was invited to debate Bannister about the legality of the income tax.
Wow, this is amazing information. Where can I find out more about this?
Go to the website at www.livefreenow.org. That's 760-868-4271. And the website is www.livefreenow.org.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Tex Mars will join us at 9 a.m. Central. to discuss Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's new book, The Synagogue of Satan. That is a Rivercrest publishing effort out of Austin, Texas. And it'll be good to talk to Tex and to get his take on the Hitchcock book, which is a very, very interesting one. I have been so busy with the events of this past Easter week that I just started the book last night and got through two-thirds of it on the first reading, and we'll be presumably able to ask Tex some intelligent questions at 9 o'clock Central Time. But I will be finishing the book tonight and then rereading it again a second, maybe a third time, to really delve into all of the treasures that are there. But it's a good historical volume, The Synagogue of Satan by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock. We'll be talking with Tex Mars about that at 9 o'clock this morning. Before we continue our conversation with Bob, I was just going to say that you can support the Republic Broadcasting Network with your gifts to the extent that your circumstances make you able to do so. You can contact us on the web at www.republicbroadcasting.org or give us a call at the office at 1-800-724-2719. That's www.republicbroadcasting.org or give us a call at 1-800-724-2719. You can have Aaron Russo's new DVD, America, Freedom to Fascism. That can be purchased directly from the Republic Broadcasting Network for $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling by using those same contact points, www.republicbroadcasting.org on the World Wide Web, or give us a call at 1-800-724-2719. And if you have a question or a comment today, either for me or for Tex Mars at a later point in the show, you can call in today at 1-800-313-9443. That call-in number is 1-800-313-9443. Bob, I know we're going to be interrupted again a couple of times in the next 10 minutes or so because this is the point where we have a lot of frequent commercial breaks. But you had made the statement that you think that some people are beginning to wake up as a result of the recent years of the present Bush administration. What do you see as the evidence of that? I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just trying to draw you out a little bit. What do you see as the evidence of that?
Well, my history was in the Republican Party up until the point where Pat Buchanan was denied the ability to speak at the Republican National Convention.
That's when I left, by the way.
Well, you know, that was a wake-up call for me. Pat is a nationalist and a staunch Republican. And had been, you know, he was a speechwriter for Nixon. And as a matter of fact, at one point in time, I thought he might be Deep Throat. But the when that occurred, it made me start taking a look at my belief system. And then the more I looked, the more my subconscious thoughts were confirmed over and over and over again. And that there was a conspiracy. I didn't want to believe that there was a conspiracy and that our country wasn't what I'd have grown up thinking that it was.
Bob, hold on. I want you to continue with that line of thought from 1996 when we come back. This is Mark Dancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with Bob's comments and observations, and then at 9 o'clock Central Time, we'll have Tex Mars on to discuss Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's new book, The Synagogue of Satan. Stay tuned.